Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Pop Life Podcast. Today is the 12th? No, yeah, 12th.
Yeah, the 12th.
Yeah. I've been good with the dates lately. I've been knocking them out.
Again, nobody cares but you.
I know, but I know it's my thing. Let me do my thing. How's everybody doing?
I'm motherfucking tired, but I'm good.
Yeah, same here, man. I'm good. Had a long, long day, man. Been up since about 5 this morning. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did Mona go out to LA with Missy?
Yeah, she shot out this morning, so
that's why you was up so early.
I get her and then, you know, shoot her over to the airport and all that.
Get over to the port.
Yeah.
I got to take over the Delta. You know we got to be there two hours early.
No, man, she's the, yo, man, my wife, man, like, God bless her, right? But, like, she travels so differently. Mm-hmm. Than every other regular person that travels. Like, she'll have an 8 o'clock flight due and will absolutely, like, leave the crib at, like, you know, like maybe 45 minutes before that flight.
That's me.
And makes it every time. Without fail. Makes it. They know her.
Yes, they run her right through the security.
She's got all the
clear and all that.
Yeah,
we got all that. As a family, we ain't fucking with the blinds, bro.
That's all.
The blinds is for the birds.
Yeah. The blinds is trash. Yeah, and the secret that a lot of people know, if you do got luggage, drop it with the guy outside with sky caps.
Yeah. Tip them a little something
in their hand, and they gonna get your luggage there. And now you ain't got to worry about the baggage line.
Yeah.
Every time I see people in that baggage line, I'm like, it's like nobody standing outside. Y'all are crazy.
The only time I go to the baggage line is because since I do have status, I can go, you know, to the little side part.
To the special joint.
And if I am running late, because I will say one thing, like the difference with JFK. I check bags so infrequently that the times that I do jam myself up is when I have to check luggage because I forget how much more time I need to allow myself. Because at JFK, you got to check luggage like an hour before.
Yep. Or you're joining and getting on the plane.
Crazy. Yep. Like, cause I'm used to showing up kind of like what Sean's saying about Mona, like right just in time to go through security and walk on the plane.
Yeah.
Like that's what I usually do. So usually when I have to check bags, that's when I end up jammed up because I'm just not used to allowing myself that much time. But I go straight up to that counter and beg and get them.
JFK is trash.
It's awful.
I want to start out with a piece, and I want to say this girl's name right. Crisada Rodriguez. She actually passed away.
The blogger.
Yeah, I didn't even. I to be honest with you,
I think it's Crisada.
Is it Crisada? You might be right. That sounds better than what I said. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know she was a fashion blogger. I just kind of caught her on Instagram one day, because she had been going through a bout with cancer,
stomach cancer.
Yeah, and I just kind of read her post and she was being so. You know, positive in her, like, I'm going to get better and da da da. And I just kind of, I read a couple posts and I was just like, wow, this girl's, you know, obviously going through it and she's being so positive. I just started to follow her. I never really did the knowledge to her background. I just started following her and, you know, I would like every picture. You know, I didn't know her. Like, it's just, I would comment. and then she sadly passed away, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, maybe yesterday even.
I think it was Monday.
Yes, she passed away. She's only 40 years old.
Just turned 40.
Yeah. And then I saw the outpouring from everybody online and I was like, oh wow. I really did not realize she was as popular as she was.
Well, I knew she was an Instagram influencer and I saw your name up there for some likes a couple times.
Yeah.
I started following her not too long before she was diagnosed.
Okay.
So she used to be, there's this online shopping app that I think still exists. It's called Like It to Buy It or something like that. But basically what it is if you have the app, when you see somebody on Instagram wearing an outfit, if they're part of their influencer program, you can literally you can like the picture and it'll take you to the app to show you what it is and you can buy it.
Okay.
Crisada was one of their influencers for a long time, and she just had, or I'm probably saying her name wrong too, but it's like K-R-Y-Z-A-D-A, I think actually is how you spell it.
D-A-Y-D-A.
Crisada, maybe.
I think so, yeah.
So she was, or Crisada, whatever. She was, I'm sorry if I'm butchering her name, but she was one of their influencers, so that's how I discovered her. And she used to always just have dope looks, and she had the fly hair.
Yeah, she was gorgeous. And, gorgeous.
Stunning, like really stunning. Mm-hmm. So I started following her, and it wasn't, maybe within a couple of months, she posted from the hospital and saying that her stomach had been bothering her. It had been swelling. Mm-hmm. And she went to the emergency room and ran some tests, found that she had cancer. And this hasn't even been, I don't even know if it's been a year.
I don't think it has been.
I don't think it's been a year.
Yeah.
But she was saying, like, you know, the social media shit is sweet, but there's real life shit too. But mm-hmm. the thing is, you know, she would disappear for a little bit at a time mm-hmm. because obviously she was going through treatment and going through chemo. But the one thing about her that really impressed me was that she kept posting.
Yes.
And she kept
posting all the way through.
Mm-hmm. She kept posting all the way through, and she kept posting in looks. Mm-hmm. She kept posting, and like, even though, and she'd be in a look, but the caption would be like, you know, it was really hard for me to get up, and I mm-hmm. wanted to make myself do this. She refused to get a wig. So we were seeing her, like, her hair thinning out. We were seeing her body thinning out. Like, she was so small near the end. And I saw some other people say that she went live actually, like, 2 or 3 days before she died. She did Instagram Live.
I think it was the day before.
She did an Instagram Live. She was in the hospital. She had tubes all in her nose and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was telling people basically to not waste time.
Yeah, she was like, do whatever you're going to do, do it. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but she was like, do it now. Life is not promised, and do it. And then she, you know, thanked everybody for all the, you know, well wishes. And now she was very weak, and, you know, her voice was very weak and stuff. And then, you know, like a day or so, maybe no more than 2 days, like you said, later, we heard she passed away and stuff. So it was really sad.
Because she knew it was, because stomach cancer is incurable.
Yeah, so, that's what my mother had.
Yeah, it was really just a matter of how long she was going to live and how comfortably she could live.
Yeah, because you can't, because your body can't get nutrients.
Yeah.
So you end up, you know, your body can't live with stomach cancer, so you're not eating. You know, the liquid is not enough to sustain. So over time, you just start to basically, like, kind of like, you know, waste away. Yeah. And it's wild painful.
Right.
Wild painful because you can't really take it out because you can't take the stomach out.
Yeah.
So it's a horrible thing. I just wanted to say that.
But you're right. There was a huge outpouring. Like I saw so many posts of people supporting her. So apparently her story had been, she worked in retail, because I don't know her whole story either, but she worked in retail and then, she quit. And not only did she have a fashion blog, but she also had an online shop. I only went to her blog a couple of times. I was just all, and usually it was to check like some kind of look that she had on. But again, she kept posting, and obviously all the companies that she was in partnership with kept supporting her because she was still like tagging
mm-hmm.
companies and
yeah, because she was still taking pictures and stuff. Even when she was sick, she would still take pictures.
Yeah, and she still looked fly. That's what's crazy.
Yeah,
in like her own way, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, much love to her. She clearly touched a lot of people. She inspired a lot of people. But also just goes to show, like, the gram, you never fucking know.
Yeah.
Like, she was the picture of health. I mean,
and living that quote unquote fly life. You know, she was going to all the events. She was dressed fly. Yeah.
Dope body, mm-hmm. glowing skin. Like I said, healthy fly hair. She worked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like everything, even she used to say, like, she was a gym fanatic, like all of that. So you don't know what's going on. You never know.
So I respected the fact you said that she lifted the curtain, you know?
Yeah.
Also wanted to just give a quick review. I went to see Crazy Rich Asians over the weekend,
which I still need to see.
You know what? Before I saw the movie, I didn't read many reviews of the movie, but I did read some stories and heard a couple of podcasts from Asian people about their thoughts on the movie. And a lot of Asian people, the movies are the people in the movie are mostly Chinese. And it's supposed to be a Chinese family. And most of the people in the movie, the Asian people of the community felt like the movie was very surface, and it was almost like a Tyler Perry movie, but with a Chinese people in it, right? And okay. When I went to see the movie, they're correct. It was very surface. It was like they had like a gay guy, and they had like the mean mother-in-law, and they had, you know, the characters are kind of very, you know, oh yeah, or they have that the you know, the guy who the lead guy is like super handsome, and
right,
you know, his friend is also super handsome, and then they had like a party guy, and he's buck wild, and so it was very selfish surface, brother. But all that being said, I mean, and maybe it's the Tyler Perry fan in me. All that being said, it was actually a pretty good movie for what it was. It wasn't deep.
Why I think it wasn't supposed to be deep. It's a rom-com.
Exactly.
And it's supposed to just be a rom-com.
It's supposed to be just a rom-com that just happens.
Except with Asian people.
Exactly. It just happens to start Asian people.
Yeah,
it wasn't necessarily like a quote-unquote Asian movie. It was, like, yeah. I said, a rom-com that just happened to be set in Singapore, starring an all Asian cast.
And I think that was actually the point. The point was for it to not be a distinctly Asian narrative. Just like we say about like the Best Man Holiday and shit like that. Like, it's a movie about life. It's a regular ass movie that's just got some people other than white people in it.
Exactly. And there's obviously everybody, you know, spoke English and all that and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, there's the girl, I forget her name now, she's a big YouTube star. I guess it's her first role. She plays like a comedic
The girl they're calling the Asian Tiffany Haddish?
Yeah, the one with the blonde hair, exactly.
Yeah, isn't her name like Awkwafina or something crazy?
Yeah, it's Awkwa something. I don't know if it's Fina, but it is Awkwa something. It looks like
Awkwafina.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, it had some interesting cultural stuff in it. And of course, it's set in Singapore, and his family's supposed to be like ultra rich. So just like some of the shit that, like the house they lived in the mm-hmm. wedding, his boy's wedding, was just like a stunning, like Jesus Christ, so much paper. Like his boy, his boy's wedding. So they're there or whatever. Then when the bride comes out, all of a sudden they look down. First of all, they're sitting in a some type of church temple, but it's all this grass.
Mm-hmm.
It's chairs and everything, but it's grass. They put grass all around it.
I've seen a shot of that. I was wondering what that was.
And then when his boy's wife is ready to come in, they look down and there's water just starts coming out. And so the whole bridal party comes down the aisle in water. It was crazy, yo. It was crazy. It made me want to go to Singapore because it was just stunning. Some of the stuff, the buildings and stuff was just like, Jesus Christ, there's so much paper over here, you know? But I definitely recommend it. It's a good, you know, kind of Saturday night, you know, take your lady, go see it, you know, hang out, whatever, eat some popcorn, have a good time, and it ain't gonna be too deep. Women love it because it's about weddings and, you know, the woman being accepted into the family and all that. It was good.
That was the most stereotypical thing. It's not the most stereotypical thing I've heard you say. That was a very stereotypical.
No. But I like it too.
What you mean? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I like the two, but you know what I'm saying. It's definitely there's parts where it's like more geared towards the female perspective or whatever.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying. Sean
clearly doesn't care.
Sean don't give a shit. Sean ain't gonna see
it. I ain't. Jordan went.
Did she like it?
Okay. Yeah. Her and her friends went. Yeah, she said she liked it. I wasn't going to see it.
Yeah. It stars the woman, by the way. It stars the woman from Fresh Off the Boat.
Okay.
Oh, Constance?
Yeah, she plays the bride.
Well, I might go check it out then. I like her. Yeah.
And the mother-in-law actually is the woman that was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I saw that a million years ago.
She's one of the martial arts stars. She's the main martial arts star in it. The one that's a little bit older, not the younger one, the one that's a little older. She's the mother-in-law. So it's like, you know. So anyway, yeah, so check that out. So go on, check that out. Also want to just give two more quick kind of semi shout outs. Shout out to Pharrell. Sean and I went to the Yellow Ball on Monday night, which is an event that Pharrell's starting to put on. This is his first one, which is to raise money.
By the way, I know I was out of town, but I still feel a way that y'all went to this shit and ain't told me y'all was going to the shit, even though I was out of town. I just was like, I don't really understand how I'm seeing pictures of y'all all posted up and shit looking cute, and I didn't know nothing about it. But that's
well, thank you. We look cute. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Well, I was going because I had to take Jordan mostly, and Jeff was going really kind of for work slash.
Yeah, because Missy performed at the ball.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like we went like as a squad. We just linked up.
Yeah.
It's his first one. He's giving money back to the arts and stuff. So he did this ball. It's sponsored by American Express at the Brooklyn Museum. It was very, you know, very well attended, but, you know, a lot of corporate people in there, you know, some cool people. Jeffrey Canada was there, and Swizz Beatz and Alicia came through. A$AP Ferg also performed and hung out for a while. And Jordan was geeked to meet. That's the only reason Jordan came, is to meet A$AP Ferg.
Literally the only reason. She was so excited.
Oh,
so
my
happy.
God.
She was so very, yeah. Yeah, that worked out. And peace to American Express, too, because what they've done is they've given, I wouldn't say they've given Pharrell a card, but the yellow American Express card will be, I don't know if they're rounding off, but they're going to, that's going to be their philanthropic leg for the arts.
Yeah.
So right. For people who have.
So the equivalent of the red card.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Red card, the plum card, the whatever the Tribeca card was. So this is their version of that. It wasn't just, and just two, it wasn't just sort of high end folks. Let me say that relatively speaking. You could purchase a ticket if you were a platinum member.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get these sort of emails, most of which people ignore.
Mm-hmm. Which
but
I definitely.
If you actually read, like if you actually read the emails from Amex, like you get the dibs on being able to go to stuff like this.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was a fun night. Really had a good time. And just want to say, now you can kind of take a lead on this a little bit. Peace to Black Girls Rock. Which aired Sunday night on BET. I watched a little bit of it, switching back and forth between that and Insecure and football, and there's a bunch of shit on. But I did see, I saw the Aretha tribute. I saw the Judith Jamison get her award. Mm-hmm. I actually missed Janet get hers. I need to see that. And some other stuff too. So I saw like Latifah was on there hosting and stuff. So it looked like it was a great show. To me, I won't say issue. It's not my issue because it's not that heavy. But I know it's programming, but it was just kind of tough to put it on like Sunday night when it's like a lot of other stuff going on. Then they used to put it on during the week before. Didn't it come on? Was it always Sunday nights?
It's always been Sunday.
Okay.
It's just they just keep changing. When it happens, like it actually was also, no, it's been in August. This is the second year it's been in August. I think they've just been trying to find a home for it.
Yeah.
Timing wise. Cause I want to say for a little while, it was like when it first started, I feel like it was in the fall and
Me
then
too.
It was in the spring.
Me too. Me too.
And then it was in the spring at one point.
It was
and
definitely
now,
spring at one point.
Yeah. Now it's here.
Yeah. They've jumped all over the place. And we talked about this before. Like, this is a problem. And this is going to continue to be a problem.
For
booking, not just booking people, but your audience as well. Audiences are used to certain events and certain award shows at certain times.
Yes.
There is a reason why they don't just have them all willy-nilly throughout the course of the year. They specifically, because even if you're not, everyone knows, okay, guys, we're looking for show dates and we're taking offers. Okay, if you're sending them shit during the Grammy week, no one's taking that, bro. Like, no one's, you know, leaving the country, you know, during Grammy week. So it's just like, that's a big part of what you have to do to gain momentum. And they have been consistently inconsistent.
Yes.
With, you know, what they've done. And I think this might be maybe the second year that they've stayed in sort of the same location, you know.
They've been in NJ PAC. This is their fourth or fifth year in NJ PAC. But this is only their second year in August. they started, like, when they switched to spring, they moved to NJPAC. So I guess they just need to get steady. They need to get steady. And like you said, Sean, find a home so that people are saying, oh, it's almost time for Black Girls Rock. Because mm-hmm. it's not even on my radar to start thinking about it for my clients. I have to hit people at BT and be like, when are you doing it this year? Because it just doesn't, you know, you think about having certain conversations for other,
you know, I'm gonna tell you like this. You know how I knew Black Girls Rock was coming on? Someone posted their tickets, like a picture of their tickets on IG.
Wow.
Right.
Like it just doesn't. And listen, you're clearly, you know, it's not a show that is designed or catered to me specifically, just in terms of a show. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about the Black Power Fist. I mean, just in terms of the show, it's not geared for me, but there has to be some level of trying to rope the masses in a little bit. But, you mm-hmm. know, it is what it is. And, you know, listen, maybe if they like it, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, want to shout out Miss America. Nia Franklin is her name, I believe.
Nia Imani Franklin.
Yes, yes, from North Carolina.
She's a 402. Shout out to
them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's Delta?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, she won Miss America. She went to North Carolina. I think has a master's degree also from North Carolina. I didn't watch the Miss America pageant because, again, it was one of those nights. It was a bunch of other things on. But I was kind of like, you know, glancing at Twitter at the time, and there was a couple of people that were watching it, and they were posting clips. And it was what caught me, my interest was a couple of things. Obviously, number one, that a Black girl won. You know what I'm saying? That's, and from, you know, representing New York won. I love that. And also that, yeah, Miss Michigan and somebody else, they took shots at Trump. And I was kind of like, wow, okay, that never happens. That they, like, this one girl, I guess the Miss Michigan girl, like, took a direct shot at him. Like, I was like, oh shit, okay, but obviously we're in, you know, strange times and he's a horrible nigga. So, like,
well, her shot was at the water crisis. Somebody else said that Trump was the biggest, maybe it was the same girl, but somebody else said that Trump was the biggest problem.
Yeah,
in America today, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Another contestant said, so yeah, he was until we get rid of him, like, our country's going to be fucked up. I mean, she didn't say that verbatim, but that's kind of what she said.
Yeah. Well, basically, Miss America is trying to rebrand, right? So there was no swimsuit competition this year. Mm-hmm. Instead, they did a runway competition, which is basically to me the same thing as the evening gown competition, but whatever. And I think they encouraged more, vocal response in terms. Wait, hold on. Yes, ma'am. I don't think so. Nothing. Sure. You can text me. All right. Sorry. She talking all quiet. Like, whatever. Anyway, they are actually advocating for the contestants to not just look pretty, but, you know, to actually, like, have a point of view and say something. So they're trying to
show their intelligence more.
Yeah, but it leads itself to a bigger conversation of, can you modernize a beauty pageant? It's a beauty pageant. Like, beauty pageants are beauty pageants. You can call them whatever else you want to call them, but at the end of the day, they're a beauty pageant. Is there a way to truly modernize the beauty pageant? And I don't know if there is, so viewership was way down.
Yeah, the viewership was way down. But again, I don't know.
They went up against football.
Yeah, about to say, I saw some people saying that they thought it was, they attribute some of the ratings going down to the lack of the swimsuit thing. But to me, as you said, it's more about the, like, it's kind of going back to what we just, and it's also going back to what we just said about, Black Girls Rock. It's like, you know, again, I know it's hard to, like, to program things, but it's like, yo, if you're going to program beauty pageants and a Black woman's event against the NFL, you're going to lose badly. Like, it just is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I get it. They're different viewing demographics, but I also believe, and I think we talked about this a while ago, I also believe that, like, it's, I don't know if there's still a place for, like, Miss America to be a major event. It feels very bygone era. Like, I just don't know if it's still a thing.
It's not. The greatest day in 1965 used to be going to Coney Island.
Right.
And getting on
right.
a cyclone and going to Nathan's.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody fucking cares about that shit. Six Flags is an hour and a half away.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it just doesn't. And not only that, I mean, listen, I would never underestimate, you know, people tuning in to see, you know, women in bikinis, right? Like, I would, but I don't think it would move the needle in that way. Mm-hmm. And also,
I didn't even know they weren't doing it until they didn't do it.
We also, we live in a world with such access.
Yeah, we can see all that shit on tour.
We see them, follow them,
on the gram. Yeah.
Everyone's trying to go viral. They're doing cute videos. They're doing the Kiki challenge. They're doing all this other shit. It's like nothing's exciting. Like, basically, this is an old business model.
Yes.
Right? I mean, what they need to do, Ed.
Oh boy.
I'm about to give away a jewel now. Somebody need to do is an Instagram model pageant.
Oh, like, Jesus, no.
Who wouldn't watch that?
I mean,
what would it consist of?
Passing the background check is really the question.
I mean, my thing would be like, just all there'd have to be a threshold of the women having a certain amount of followers. Like, you'd have to have, like, you know, everybody's got to have at least, you know, 200,000 or whatever the number would
right.
be to enter. And you know what I'm saying?
That's tricky because you got bots. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I see your point.
Yeah,
but I think
to ensure people watch, you want people to be like, oh, that's that girl, you know, ICJ or whatever their name is, because, you know, them by their, you know, they got a million followers. People obviously are like, you know, watching them. But going back to what you were saying, Nye, to get a bunch of, you know, very attractive girls and very intelligent girls and college graduates and all that. I mean, kudos to them. They're amazing women. But sadly, in this day and age, like Bruce said, that alone is not going to move the needle. So, like,
which goes against the whole thing, like the whole point of a, that's the thing. The whole concept is a bygone concept because you're supposed to be squeaky clean and, you know, about helping make the world a better place, which that part is cool, but you're supposed to be like pure and, you know, traditional and all this other stuff. So the more you try to not even radicalize it, but the more you try to modernize it, the more awkward it feels because the entire concept is outdated. The entire concept of beauty pageants on a national scale is outdated. I think they still work on a local level. There is scholarship money to be won.
Yeah.
You know, there is a certain amount of skill and talent that you learn in the pageant cycle for public speaking and for all that other stuff that I think there's some value there. I don't know about, I've always been skeptical of the toddler pageant circuit.
Well, that's just some bullshit.
But for Miss America, Miss Universe, I don't even think Miss Black America, does Miss Black America even still exist? I don't even think that still exists.
What about Hal Jackson Talented Teens? They still
They do that down at the Apollo.
They do that down over there.
At the Billie Holiday Theater down at the Restoration.
Apollo, Thursday, Sunday in June.
Didn't Lou Rawls used to host that?
Yeah. Lou Rawls was the star of something.
The evening of the stars.
Shirley Collins and Lester, they held it down from 77
to 86. Willie had a stroke, couldn't come out no more.
Lou Rawls Parade of Stars. That's what it was. The Lou Rawls Parade of Stars.
Oh, shit. Hey, at one point, the Hal Jackson Talented Teens thing was a big thing back in shit in about 83.
Well, back when you could actually sign people out of talent shows. Remember them days when people could actually get a show out of a talent show.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen with them. Sidebar, just for the tri-state area. A friend of mine told me, I didn't realize it's so fucked up, man. It's so how they do us, man. You know, the African American Day Parade is Sunday.
Oh, word? I did not know that.
See, I didn't know it either. They always stick up there. Our parade's always at the end of the year. It's cold.
Right.
No advertisement. They got a few, garbage men and some COs walking. So, I mean, peace to that. But, you know, just, you know, if you're out and about, go on and wave to the, you know, to the police woman and all that shit. let's go and get into the TV. let's talk about Married to the Med real quick. I know you don't watch it, nah, but you know, me and Bro watch it. Second episode of the season. Is it second or third? No, wait, shit, I'm tripping. Is it the second or third, bro?
I think it's the second.
Second episode of the season. This episode was kind of, not more catching up, but just kind of more like, you know, the gelling of the cast. Couple wild things happened. Number one, Dr. Contessa, they showing her, like Brown I was saying last week, about her kind of being a super mom and working around the house. But the book, wild shit happened. So they have the three kids. Like I said, the little girl, the youngest girl, she does a lot. She looks to me about like maybe five, and she's like all over the place. She's running, she's yelling, she's just crazy with it, right? And so they decided to feed the kids sushi, which I thought was like, that's interesting. I ain't know kids really fuck with sushi like that. So the little girl grabs a piece of sushi and throws it in her mouth and starts choking. Dr. Contessa, God bless her, you know, being a doctor, calm as hell, just picks her up, like, you know, hangs her kind of semi-upside down, smacking her on her back, you know, stuck her finger in her throat, and the girl vomited up the sushi. It was crazy because, like, she was, like, a lot of other parents who didn't have that type of background, that girl might have not made it.
Right.
Because, you know, there's the fact that Dr. Contessa didn't panic, and obviously, and then just put the girl down and went back to regular. Like, we're right back to regular. Like, okay, yeah, here goes the going to pick up the, like, not even tripping, not even like, oh my God, she almost choked. She was just like, oh, she all right? I was like, holy.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was crazy. It was that scene was crazy. That was buck wild. And then the other thing we had, kind of more of a bigger chunk of Cecil and Simone. Which irked me again. Again, they're both living in the different houses. Simone comes over to Cecil's crib, the house on the south side, brings a poster of herself.
A big ass picture. I was like, what the fuck?
She's like, well, you know, you could put this up in the bedroom next to the TV and think about me. I'm like, what? Like, right. So, it's just like, she's just, it's weird, man, because she really is treating, like I said, bro might be right, because she's really treating Cecil like he had a long time affair with a woman. That's her energy towards him.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you gotta work to get me back kind of thing. And again, I'm not saying he has been an angel. He's done some shit, of course, but it's like, she's basically taking it like, you did some fucked up shit to me, and I'm waiting for you to get me in the mood to want to be back with you. But in the meantime, between time, I'm good living across town. So like, but she ended up spending it. So they had to talk about that. He's basically like, yo, like when we go, basically he's saying, when are we going to have sex? This is ridiculous. And she's like, well, I'm not in the mood and da 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 da. So yo, your man Cecil walks past her and pats her on the head like a dog. He was like, all right, let's go on upstairs and go to bed. Then forget it. He like his conversation like, all right.
Yeah, cause he all right, I see where this is headed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the funny thing is, man, is like, when you watch a show like this, you know, part of watching and experiencing this is watching people try to either, fix their relationship or dissolve their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what's crazy is they're doing neither.
They're just standing still.
They're doing neither. They are no further along in life in terms of a couple than they were last year when they decided, you know, that they were going to stick this out and they were going to do this divorce thing. So I'm just kind of like, what's really good, man? Like,
yeah. How long is this going to last in this pattern? Cause,
come on, man.
Because even the guys ask Cecil, so you back in the crib yet? And he's like, well, nah, we both stand across town because I feel like if we go back living in the crib, we're just going to be kind of go right back to the same patterns and we're trying to work on shit. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but you're just doing the same thing. You're still not working on shit and you're in different houses. And Toya, God bless her, made some sense this week. She was like, she was like, Matt, like, she's like, how you work on a relationship when y'all live across town from each other and haven't lived together in 4 months? she's right. Like, this is going nowhere. So, I mean, we'll see how that turns out. Like, that was kind of like the biggest things. And it was, Contessa's husband and Toya had a little thing at the end or whatever, but you know.
Yeah. And Heavenly and her just.
Oh, Heavenly. Yeah. Yeah. Don't talk about Heavenly, bro.
I really don't have much to say other than when I watch this show, I've never seen somebody so venomous, like so mean spirited.
Yeah.
You know, you can point to different people that have been on reality shows that have been portrayed as the villain. And there was always a thin line of connectivity, right? Like you felt like, well, maybe this person isn't that bad. They would put an olive branch out. And you felt like it was genuine, even if it didn't necessarily work. But like with her, man, like she just really feels like a bad person, man. like just dark. And she couches the behavior in this, I'm walking with Christ, right? And what that really is,
I'm working on myself.
Yes. And those of us that have been to church, we know those women.
Yeah.
Okay. They come to church every Sunday. They tithe. They part of the board. They're active. Okay. And they're mean as a fucking rattlesnake. And they don't do anything. In walking with Christ with people on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. They feel like they come to church, they do the active stuff, and then that's it. That's where the line is drawn.
Yeah.
And then it's just...
They feel like it makes them even better suited to be a judge of other people.
Yeah. Because I go to
it
church.
It makes them more sanctimonious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I come to Smith, I've been here every week, so you can't tell me nothing.
I know Jesus.
Yeah, I go to Bible study. It's like, yeah, but you're a terrible person.
Yeah, awful.
You curse the lady out in the drugstore because she didn't have, she didn't have the Colgate that you like. I mean, God, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I'm enjoying the season. I can't lie. You know, I'm going to keep watching and keep yelling at the TV. Let's talk about Insecure. Did you watch it, Nye?
I'm so behind. Oh, I didn't watch it because on Sunday I was in the car. I was driving home. Oh. I mean, I was because I drove with mom from DC down to South Carolina. So I just haven't seen it yet. I'm like,
it was a great episode. The last two episodes.
I saw that your boy pops back up at the end.
Yeah, at the end.
I saw the commentary about it. Like, I wasn't trying to miss spoilers, but yeah, I'm excited to see it. I know the past two episodes have had everybody really happy.
Yeah, because they've been like a lot of kind of like hijinks in the last two. This one, they go to Coachella to see Beyonce, and they take edibles, and, you know, of course, that is and Molly. They take edibles and Molly.
From strangers, which was like, I'm not a druggie, right? Like, well, they weren't at Coachella. Let me give some context. They weren't at Coachella yet. She basically did the switcheroo and had old light skin hazel eyes hit her up, and she took the girls there like on the way to Coachella.
Yeah, because they were at a party,
like a day party.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's his boys, but okay, this is the second time. This is the third time you've seen them. This is the first time they're meeting them. And they're just going in homeboy's Altoids case.
Grabbing.
Taking drugs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that culture because it's not, and I am not saying this in a judging way as much as if that's your bag, that's your bag. I just didn't know that you was taking shit from strangers in day parties.
From a can of paint, you know?
But it's TV.
Yeah, exactly. And then they take like several edibles.
Oh yeah, they was going to town.
Yeah, they was taking edibles. Like, they were eating edibles like they was candy. It wasn't like they just took one or whatever. It was just kind of funny to me that we had the edible conversation about people in this age group, especially women in this age group, just last week, and then on Insecure, they did exactly what we were talking about. But you know, it was a lot of stuff that happened in the shows. It was a lot of really funny shit. Kelly was, on 12. Yes. And then we got to see like a little bit of Tiffany on the more quiet side, as I'm seeing with her and East in the car, where she's basically just like, you know, I'm pregnant now and everything is going to be different. Like y'all have a group chat I'm not on. Y'all can do stuff. Y'all do stuff without me. Like my life is going in a whole different direction from y'all. And she's feeling kind of like, you know, sad and melancholy that is, you know, she's happy she's pregnant, but she's kind of like, yeah, but it's over. Like this kind of foursome is over now because I got a husband and now I'm about to have a baby. And I can't get high. I can't do nothing. Like I gotta be over here. So, and so it was kind of simple because I'm not a woman, but I'm assuming that's a thing that a lot of women who have a, you know, group of friends and, you know, maybe one of them gets pregnant or whatever, that one who gets pregnant kind of has those feelings like, damn, those are my girls, but I can't do the brunch shit no more.
Well, actually, it usually, in my experience, when it is expressed, it's usually more expressed like, damn, y'all leaving me, more than I gotta remove myself.
Well, that's kind of what Tiffany was saying. Like, y'all are leaving me. Y'all are like, y'all still popping.
Leaving me out, you know?
Y'all still popping. You said she got a group chat. Y'all, I'm not in it. Like, y'all got all this other shit going on that I'm not even privy to anymore because now y'all look at me like, oh, that's a mom.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, like, she couldn't drink at the Coachella. She obviously couldn't take edibles.
And it's hard when it's the first, like, it's weird because there's a shift that happens because the first, there's always the moment where there's like the first couple in the crew and the rest of the crew has to adjust. But then, you know, as years go by, you end up on the other end of the spectrum where most of them in the crew are like married with kids or whatever. And you just got the few single ones left who then remove themselves because they're like, y'all be hanging out at kids' birthday parties. Like, I'm that person in one of my friend groups. Like, y'all all see each other around shit that your kids do, and I don't have kids. And
going to Chuck E. Cheese and like to the bookstore for the, because they're reading Harry Potter, and I'm like, I'm trying to turn up.
Well, not even that. Just that I'm trying to turn up. But it's like I'm not coming to a kids party to sit around with a bunch of kids. You know what I mean? It's just like that because I'm also not the club girl anymore. But it's still a different.
Ice cream cake be popping though. Ice cream cake, like for real, with the cookie, with the Oreo cookie in there.
Yeah, and all the snacks.
It'd be mad snacks.
wait. Sidebar. Your favorite ice cream cake. Baskin Robbins, Carvel's, what are we doing here?
I mean, if you're from New York, you have to say Carvel because you're from New York. But I feel like anywhere else.
Chocolate crunchies in it.
Carvel's, put the S on it.
Yeah, Carvel's.
Yeah, the joint with the crunchies. What is that? Is that the Fudgy the Whale joint?
Yes, that's Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale joint. But I don't think, isn't Carvel just in New York? The Carvel's?
Nah, they got them in. You get them in down the ShopRite. You get them down there. In the frozen, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Because
they make more money for the cakes than probably at the actual franchise.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't even think there's a franchise open
anymore. I don't think there's one.
I think they just do the cakes. They do the cakes, bro, and that's where you go. That's it's clutch.
So you like that? Telling you, so you like that more than the Baskin Robbins.
I mean, anywhere else I am in the world, I'm going to get Baskin Robbins. But when I think ice cream cake, the first thing I think of.
Because the Baskin Robbins, we have an actual cake.
But that's the thing. You don't want cake in the ice cream cake.
I want bread cake. I want ice cream cake with the crunchies.
Ice cream with the crunchies.
Brussels, I want them crunchies, goddammit.
The crunchies are important. The only reason I can eat the chocolate part of the ice cream is because it has the crunchies. Without that, I don't want that.
I can't eat ice cream. I haven't had ice cream in probably like 3 years. So
you lactose intolerant too?
Totally. My shit be toe up. I'll be up on that. I'll be up on that toilet with the laptop because I'm be here for a while.
This nigga here.
I used to love
Carvel because Carvel remind me of being a little kid. My positive, like I used to love Carvel's, man. It's custard, really, right? It's not ice cream, it's custard, right? It used to be custard. Like, this sidebar, I love me some Carvel's.
Sidebar, not to go off on a bunch of tangents, but I was watching Chicago Ink last night, or Black Ink Chicago.
Was it? They wound it down, right? The season wound it down?
Yeah, there's only like two more episodes left. But nigga Van had the gout, and I was laughing so hard because I was thinking about your ass.
Did you say how he got the gout?
He didn't say. He tried to deny it was the gout. Talking about, nah, it's some other foot swelling thingy. Majigger, but they was like, man, got the gout,
boy.
And they were going to like a campground or something, so he was all fucked up.
You better go and get that, get them antibiotics.
They had to walk down the hill. This nigga put his grudges down and rolled to this.
that gout is that pain brutal. You better go on and get some antibiotics for that gout because ain't nothing else gonna help. Nothing. Let's talk about Serena Williams. So Sunday was like a big ass. No, that was Saturday, right?
That was Saturday.
Sunday?
No, finals.
No.
What was it? No. The men's finals was Sunday.
It was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, because it was raining. So it was a big day on Saturday, and Serena played Naomi Osaka, who is a Haitian Japanese girl. And they definitely was trying to pit, you know, the whole like young girl against, you know, Serena. There's definitely a feeling, in my opinion, that the powers that be, whoever they may be, are ready to kind of push Serena out now because she's still dominant. And especially after having a baby, I think they didn't think she was going to come back like this. And in tennis years, she's, like we said before on the show, I believe, in tennis years, she's ancient. Like, to be 36 years old and still out there winning championships, that's unheard of.
So I would just say this. It would really be silly for them to not have their next up to bat.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think at this point, Serena can, if she retired tomorrow, who's surprised? If she retired in 2 years, who's surprised?
Yeah. You're not nobody.
They got to line somebody up.
But I feel like they're like, all right, go on and go now. So,
yes.
They set Naomi up. Naomi won the tournament. She's a great, great young player. So I think she's only like 19 or something like that.
20.
Yeah, she's a kid. Like I said, her dad's Haitian, her mom's Japanese. It's interesting because they kept trying to spin her narrative as, if you didn't know better, you would think like she was this girl from Japan who just came to the States recently.
Like yesterday.
And it's like, she grew up in Florida. Like she's basically from here. She's born in Osaka, Japan and came here as a super child. And I think lived in New York for a minute and then moved to Florida. She keeps telling them, I'm from Florida. Like she represented Japan in the Olympics,
so they keep
saying, "How's it feel to be like a Japanese person?"
She's a Japanese citizen, right?
She might be, but
I think she had to be to represent.
Yeah, but she's an American girl.
Or maybe she's a dual citizen.
She doesn't have an accent.
Somebody's been posting a picture of her parents and her sister when she was little, and her mom had on a FUBU snapback in the North Face.
You know what I'm saying? She's like
a B-girl.
Yeah, and she always is also constantly telling all the commentators, I'm also Haitian.
And she grew up in Haitian culture.
Yeah.
Japanese culture, apparently. Yeah,
exactly. She's like, yo, I'm like, stop like trying to put me in this little box. Like I'm like this little Japanese girl who just got to America. It's like wide-eyed and like giddy to be here. She's like, I know what's going on. She is very shy and kind of quiet, but she's definitely like, you know, an American girl. So her and Serena played, and you know, to be honest, you know, she was running Serena around. You know, I mean, she was getting at Serena. Serena started getting frustrated about, you know, she was like, you know, hitting the ball into the net a lot, and you know, just kind of missing a lot of shots, and then towards the end, it turned up. The umpire. Accused Serena's coach of coaching, which is a violation, and that turned into a one strike basically. And then Serena missed a shot and smashed her racket, which is another code violation. And then she went back over to the umpire and was still mad about being called, getting this violation for cheating. and she just kind of like didn't let it go and went ham and turned up on him and got a third.
But like, let's be careful because we're falling into the same thing that the media is doing. Like, yes, she did turn up on him, but she didn't go ham.
I was going to say that. I'm not. Okay. I'm definitely not following the media.
I know, but you literally just said she went ham.
No, but then I was going to come back around and say, okay. It turned into a whole thing. This is the thing, and it's a bigger picture. And I think that this is not addressed. It's definitely not addressed by white media because they don't really care.
Right.
But from the beginning, is these two little black girls from Compton, California. Coached by their dad, who's obviously not a professional coach. He like watched tapes and read books and learned about tennis because he saw this as a way out for his two children. Coached them literally on the tennis court to some raggedy part of Compton where he would literally have like sometimes scrap it out with gangbangers to get on the court, sweep the court of glass and all. So and my whole point is this. It's been a long journey for them to get to this space, right? Now, by the time they started to get to doing tournaments and all that, there was a lot of racist stuff that happened with those girls.
A lot of people
yelling nigga from the stands, people judging them because of the way they wore beads in their hair, people judging them because they were very confident. Like, there's this, and they, people judging their father because he has a deep Southern accent and doesn't necessarily speak with, you know, the quote unquote King's English, like the way people like to, you know, it's like a whole lot of shit happened to these girls to get to Serena to get specifically because Venus isn't doesn't do as well as Serena at this point, but a whole lot happened to these girls to get to this point. So to me, when Serena's going hard on this ump, or going hard on the ump of back, I think it was 2009 or 10, when she was like, I'm going to shove this ball down your throat and all that. Right. All that is like inside. She's been carrying this shit for years of all the slights and all the shits on and all the blah, 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 and not letting her wear her cat suit and like all this other shit. They detested her multiple times for drugs way more than anybody else. All these things that they've done to her. Like, that's what I saw.
Of course.
She was going.
And somebody wrote an op-ed about that saying that Serena wasn't angry. She's fed up.
She's
because
done.
She's fed up because even again, in the most recent round, like she had to fight, like you said, wearing the cat suit. And what I'm hating is that people who have always wanted to hate on Serena for various reasons, you know, Naomi, she's lighter skinned. She presents, even though she's not actually really physically that much smaller than Serena, she presents, she feels smaller than Serena, if that makes sense.
And she's not, she's also not as outwardly as aggressive. Like,
right.
Serena will hit a shot and like yell from her gut. Like, Naomi's not doing any of that.
Right. But also, Naomi's father put her and her sister in tennis because he was watching what.
Yeah. Naomi
Serena
idolizes mm-hmm. Serena.
Yeah.
So Serena is her version of like LeBron. Like, that's.
Right.
She's apex.
So, but the media is making this like, what Serena did to Naomi. That shit is between Serena and the umpire. It had nothing to do with Naomi because Serena defended Naomi. She backed Naomi up. She comforted Naomi. She was trying to like boost Naomi and her moment up. It wasn't about them because one thing that Serena has never been, she's a hard competitor, but she's not a poor sport.
No.
You know what I mean? And those two things.
I'm gonna chime in a little bit.
Go ahead, bro.
Love Serena. Serena is not the most gracious loser.
Okay, fair.
And I'm not killing her for that, but the times when she does lose, it is never the person was never better than her, right?
She had a bad day.
She had a bad day. And listen, she's not the first athlete to do that. She won't be the last athlete to do that, but she does not. She does not take losing well, if that makes sense. In the way that we see a guy like LeBron takes losing, you know, he takes it on the chin. I mean, you can tell he's affected by it, right? But he still answers the questions and comes to the conferences and does the song and dance and all of the shit that he has to do.
Yeah. So my point was, again, that's what black people saw. and most black people saw something like Jason Whitlock's coon ass, but that's what most black people saw. And even in the course of the, going back and forth with the umpire initially, she says to the, as a woman that comes out, I guess she's some type of, you know, official. And she says to the woman, yo, every year I play here, something happens. So that goes to your point.
Right, right.
Now, she's just like, yo, I'm tired of you motherfuckers always trying something. And this, again, there's probably a lot of stuff that happens that we don't see. It's not just happening on the court. It's other stuff that's happening behind the scenes. But this turned out into a big, you know, brouhaha. It went on and on. And then, like you said, trophy ceremony was a whole other thing. And then, you know, then Serena did a press conference after, and she said, basically, you know, I'm doing this because I'm fighting for women's rights. And she had a valid point, and she backed a lot of people up with this, because she's like, yo, men do all kind of crazy shit on the court. Like, they curse, they yell, they breaking rackets, and you guys don't ever give them even take a point away. And I call the guy a thief. I don't curse at him. I call him a thief, and he takes a point away, which means I lost the game because we were at the end of the game, which means I basically was, you know, in an almost impossible space to come back and win this match.
Right.
And so watching it, it also became very interesting to watch the different people's takes on it, because, like I said, some people were, it basically was a line. It was black people saying, y'all on some bullshit. Y'all fucking with Serena. Leave her alone. And it was white people saying she should follow the rules and she wouldn't have a problem. It was almost like a cop shooting.
You know, I listened to Bomani Jones, to Bomani's show this week, the podcast, and he made a great point, which was Serena becomes the face of whatever your particular agenda is.
Ah.
Right. Whether it's, you know, a black issue, whether it's a race issue, whether it is a sexism issue, whether it is a competitive issue, like whatever your issue is personally, you can find it in this thing. One of the things I think is very interesting is that umpires and judges and referees are increasingly becoming part of the game in ways in which they never were. And this is beyond just tennis. This is
basketball.
You see this in basketball. You see this. See this a lot in baseball. If you've ever really kept up with it, you'll tend to see this in football at certain points. That's probably the loosest sport. Like, you really got to do something incredibly egregious. Like, you have to bring physical harm to someone on a football field when they're not looking for them to act, you know, out like this. So yeah, I mean, listen, did the guy take it personally? Sure. The reality is that you're not in the heat of competition, bro. You're the umpire.
Right.
If she's high strung, if she is in a space, she has, and another thing that I said is that context matters. Context matters in sports.
Mm-hmm.
It is the reason that Dennis Rodman would get technical fouls that Michael Jordan wouldn't get.
Yep.
Right. And it wasn't just based on a star status. It's also based on the history of you playing. Are you a dirty player? Are you doing things in a way that is showing, you know, showing folks up? Right. She doesn't have a history of cheating.
No.
She doesn't have a history of cheating. In fact, athletes of that caliber, men and women, will like, that is literally the worst. They will never do that shit.
Yeah, it's the worst thing you could say to
them. It's the worst thing you could say to an athlete is that you cheated.
Yeah.
So not only did he, you know, he basically, like, besmirched her integrity.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's crazy? She doesn't need to cheat. If she loses to this girl, what the fuck is this? No fucking scale back. She's going down as one of the greatest athletes in the history of sports.
Yep.
So, you know, for him to take that stand, he took the point. Okay, that was that, to me, the issue with the coaching was a really big issue. Slamming out a racket, you got to take the point for that. You know, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
That happens, and there has to be at some point again. You're the referee. You're the umpire. You're the judge. Literally in your job description is to use your judgment and enforce the rules. using your judgment is paramount. And he could have quieted this.
Yep.
He could have quieted this, and he didn't.
He decided to turn up, and he didn't.
And yes, I think that. And when you listen,
and that
to,
part, I think him deciding to turn up, I think was about him being kind of like, how dare Serena actually like buck up?
Yes, yes. And now you're hearing that apparently these judges are looking to start a union.
Yeah,
and they're looking.
And they don't
want
to do any of her matches.
They don't want to do any of her matches. And I'm like, you fucking raggedy cocksuckers. She's been putting food on your tables. Okay.
Crazy.
The same way all you golfers talked all that shit about Tiger. How he wasn't good for the game, and he was this, and he was that. And guess what? When the person started dwindling down.
Yep, they wanted him back. My thing with the whole Serena thing is this, and you know, I'm going to get on a little tangent here, but right now on the woman's side anyway, you have Sloane Stephens, you have Madison Keys, you also have Naomi Osaka, you have you just obviously still Venus and Serena. There's another girl too. There's a few black girls. What's that girl's name? Taylor Townsend is her name. There's a few black girls on the women's side of tennis that are doing well. Like Sloane Stephens won the U.S. Open last year. You know, like obviously Naomi won it this year. Serena's won it several times, and so on and so on. So I feel like that was also the powers that be, like, as a signal to the other ones, like, look, we're not gonna have this shit with y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's about to be gone, and look what we doing to her. Let me slow y'all down. If y'all think y'all gonna be bucking up on her, if we mad enough that y'all are winning.
And also, context matters. Tennis, much like golf, has a history of being this sort of gentlemanly sport, and there was a certain code of behavior that is expected for people when they're playing tennis. Okay, you're talking about people that are competing at the highest levels. Okay, and yeah, they're gonna be passionate, dude. Like, there's not one sport where you can't take a person that would be Serena's equivalent and not show them doing the same exact shit to a referee or a judge.
Or worse.
At any point. Yeah, dude, we talking about the finals? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. John McEnroe, all these guys got.
Yeah.
And
I also want to say, too, I don't think she was wrong, but she did have a bit of a meltdown. And guess what, man? Like, it's okay. This is not a consistent thing with Serena.
I think she's just fed up with everything.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to kill her, even in a worst case scenario of, oh, you know, she kind of went overboard, right? Let's just say that is your argument, right? Is that the worst thing to happen right now? Like did what she do warrant the responses? That's my point, right? Like, there has to be, again, judgment, measure. That's right. What you're expected to do.
Right.
We need you to be the cool head in the room.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that shit really pissed me off. The tennis season is not over. We'll see what happens, I guess, in the spring when they come back around. But that shit was whack. Let's talk a little bit about, I gotta dance around it, and I know you do too, bro. Cardi and Nicki.
I gotta dance around a goddamn thing.
All right. Well, I gotta.
I know y'all do, but shit.
Yeah. So Cardi B and Nicki Minaj had a scuffle, I guess, or a confrontation. It's a better word at the Harper's Bazaar party for New York's Fashion Week.
Yep.
There's been a long time coming. There's been a lot of kind of like subliminals thrown back and forth between the two parties, and it escalated to
Has it really been back and forth?
Well,
I think it's been heavily more to one side than the other.
I agree. You know what I mean? People say I'm biased, but
I think
Nicki's throwing a lot more dirt towards Cardi than vice versa. I think Cardi's dirt has, for the most part, been in response to Nicki's dirt. It hasn't been in offensive. It's been defensive. And of course, like I said, then it's turned into a confrontation at the Harper's Bazaar party. First thing as I saw is a lot of people saying it's interesting. Like, you know, social media obviously gives you a lot of access into people's thoughts, you know, and their thought patterns and their thought processes. And it was a lot of people saying that old school shit is, why would they fight in front of all these white people? Like, I'm like,
it was more, why would Cardi fight in front of all these white people? Because Nicki said the same fucking thing, which is part of the reason why I'm like, whatever. And, well, go ahead, finish your
comment. So I watched, Joe Budden has a new show on, Revolt, with, Scotty Beam and Remy Ma and this kid Jersey Jinx. And they talked about this, the show came on, it was only once a week, I think, on Mondays. It came on Monday past. And Scotty and Remy kind of backed up Scotty later on and said this point. It's like, look, Cardi's only 1 year removed from the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Literally 10 minutes.
Literally.
Life for real.
Removed, right? And she's gotten this far by being her genuine, authentic self. And I know that she's not going to change being who she is, and God bless her for that. She, in the process of that, she's, you know, we cheer her on and say, yeah, I love Cardi because she's herself and she keeps it real. And, you know, she's doing her thing. And, you know what I'm saying? We love that she's still from the hood and blah, 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 you know? And then when something happens and the kind of hood, the hood, for lack of a better term, comes out of her, then we want to be like, oh my God, why would Cardi act like that? Why would she be like that? It's like, yo, like we've been cheering her on for being herself and being that hood girl that who's, you know, made it out.
Right.
And now that she's made it out, but then the hood comes out, we're like, oh my God, Cardi shouldn't be that way. And it's kind of a bizarre, what do you think about it, Nai?
Well, the first thing is the problem with the internet age and the everybody gets a fucking trophy age is that none of these niggas ain't never been in a fight. People under 30 ain't never been in a fight. Ever. If you've been in a fight, like, I mean, obviously there are people out there who still have, but all these motherfuckers on the internet who be like, yes, queen, your faith could never, you're like, you ain't never been in no fight. Not for real. Not, that wasn't some fake ass reality shit where you threw a soda across the room at somebody. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
and they poked it up.
Yeah, you ain't never been like, yo, such and such is looking for you when you had to round up your squad and be ready when that bell rang in between classes because you knew it was about to go down. So when you don't grow up knowing, like, there is no longer the sense of you got to back up what you talk.
No, exactly.
Keyboard thugging is so real.
There's no consequences.
There's no consequence. And it's the same shit we say about these fucking white supremacists, right? Like, if some of them knew that they might get punched in the mouth, they would shut the fuck up.
And you saw that, the clip this week that came out with the guy who was protecting a pregnant woman in the parking lot.
Yeah, and dude threw a stab at him, and when he hit him,
he's like, motherfucker! You
have to
hit me!
Yeah, it's like, you just tried to hit me!
No, not try, he hit him!
Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? They literally expect there to be no repercussion.
Yep.
And Nicki and her fans are like king and queens at this. Like, they spend all day on the internet talking cash shit, insulting people, throwing jabs at people, cussing people out. Like, it's what they do. And it comes from her.
It's what she does.
All kind of shit. And she instigated. She fans the fire. But they think that shit is cute.
Mm-hmm.
But Cardi ain't that motherfucker. Like, Cardi, again, she still operates by street rules. And street rules is, I'm going to give you but so many chances, and then it's on site. And I saw somebody tweet, I understand on site, but there's a time and place. And another person was like, then you don't understand on site. On site means on site.
On site means on site.
Wherever the place may be. Whatever. Like, I heard Cardi... Like, they weren't even all the way in the party. Cardi parked at the end of the carpet when she heard Nicki was on the carpet. Like, it was that, right?
Wow.
Like, it wasn't like, we inside and we about to get this popping. Like, Nicki was on the carpet and Cardi was like, oh, that bitch is on the carpet. I'm going to sit here. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard and I believe
I'm waiting on you.
Yeah, like I'm like, you're not even going to get injured. We're going to handle this right now. Yeah. So the other part is that, so yes, to Remy's point, Remy, who went to jail for stabbing a bitch, by the way.
Not shooting.
Oh, shoot. I thought she stabbed her.
No, she shot that girl. Yeah.
Okay. Still.
Shot that girl.
And that was her friend.
Yeah, that was her ace coon bone.
Like, so like, you got people out here who's really about this life. And I'm not saying that's something to be glorified. I'm not saying that it's something to be celebrated. But a lot of what I've seen is like, yo, y'all niggas love ratchet shit when it's brunch. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's trap yoga. Mm-hmm. When it's, let me post this meme, let me post this whatever. But it comes from a real place. Or at least it's supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, just like people used to want to glorify. Like, and I'm not, again, not saying glorified, not saying whatever. But it comes from a really real place. Like, in Kodak Barbie, she was like, you gonna do what to who? Let's find out and see.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
you know where I'm at. You know where I be. Like,
the people out here really living that life for real. Like,
it comes from a real place. So for one of the things it tells me is that y'all niggas really don't know anything about how the streets work at all. And two, I think it's really unfair to hold a still young woman, still very new in fame, in a whole new world of life,
yes,
to this standard, like all of a sudden she's just supposed to walk away from every sense of moral, like this is Cardi's moral code.
Yes.
Cardi's moral code is, bitch, you got a certain line that you got to cross. And you keep crossing it. And I tried to come at you and you clearly don't respect me. So this is what's next. Because yes, you don't get it.
These are the consequences.
These are the consequences. That is her moral code. And that has been her moral code, and that is how she has survived for a very long time. And that shit does not just turn off because all of a sudden you entered a new tax bracket.
And you, exactly,
it just doesn't. Spread.
You got some, yeah. And I agree with that 150%. Like I was telling my man, I was actually telling this girl tomorrow, working with my, it was Jamila. I was telling this girl, Jamila, we were talking about it. And I was like, you know what this is? This is the movie Juice when they on the elevator. And he gets all calm and say, what you gonna do? Shoot me on the elevator? And Bishop's like, you goddamn right I am.
Right.
Because it's on site.
Right.
And this elevator is not gonna stop me from doing what I gotta do. Like when he gets to that space in that circumstance, you gotta be ready, because it's not a game.
Yeah. Now,
and again, we're not condoning violence and we're not saying, you know.
But I understand.
I understand where it came from. Understand where it came from. And honestly, for the most part, the huge part, a lot of people on the internet understood it too.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of people like, yeah, I get it.
Like, we're celebrating, you know, celebrities out here. Like, I'm saying I understand. I'm saying that I don't expect you to be a hoe or throw rocks and hide your hands ass bitch. If you can pop shit online, because I still do subscribe to that. And it's not like I come from the suburbs. It's not like I was out here scrapping. But because I come from the suburbs, street chicks tried to test me on a regular, right? So it's like, I had to learn, right? So I also come from a place where it's like, if, you know, homegirl from the other side of town even thought I rolled my eyes at her, even if I didn't, she was rolling up on me. Like, I've had that happen. So I had to be ready to do whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that you can't talk but so much shit. Like, I can't just, anything I say to anybody at any day, I'm going to be prepared to say it to your face.
Yep.
I'm going to be prepared to hash it out in person. I will try to defuse, but if we're going to go there, I'm not going to run away.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nicki, like I said, I give Cardi some grace because she's new to the game. She's new to fame. And she has just recently come out of an environment where this was how she survived. This is how you survive, right? It's real. And so I give her some grace. If she had been in the game 5 years and this was still going down, I would have been like, Cardi, come on.
Yeah.
Now, Onyeka, on the other hand, she's too old for these games.
Also, feel like with Onyeka, and I could be wrong, I'm talking total shit, but just the way she moved in this whole thing, I get the vibe that Onyeka always had girls around her.
Yeah.
And they would get down, and she wouldn't necessarily have to get down, because they would get down. Or Onyeka
they would get down for her.
Would get down for her. Or Onyeka would pick on people who she knew were back, like how she picked on Taylor Swift, and how she picked on Miley Cyrus, blah, 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 because she knew that was going to be no smoke.
Because in that room, she's the hood girl.
She's
and
the
they're
hood
scared
girl.
Of her.
Exactly.
Cardi's not scared of her. And the fact that she brought along Ra Ali tells me that you knew you had it coming.
It was possible smoke.
So you brought the one who you could let off the leash.
Yeah, because you know, Rod's about that action, but not Rodham put a, God bless, but Rodham put herself.
She damn near got a fatwa on her head.
Yeah, she could put a bit in a precarious situation, and I don't want anything to happen to anybody. I hope it doesn't, but like, that's a tough spot to be in. So we'll, God bless all y'all, and I'm praying for y'all because that's real, man. These girls are here about their life.
But I do want to say, like, black people who are out there policing ghetto behavior, first of all, and a lot of other people said this, if you think white people don't fight at inappropriate moments, you've clearly never been to a white person event ever. Exactly. This is what they do. It's what reality TV does. And it's like, it's what white people with money do. It's what white people without money do. I also saw somebody say, only women in rap act like this. This is why people say men are more emotional than women. That's and people idiotic. Were like, Jay stabbed Un over a fucking bootleg. You know what I mean? Like,
that's idiotic. Okay. It's idiotic.
It's all idiotic. Like, none of this is unique to black women. None of it is unique to black women. And Cardi's money is fine. Her brand is fine.
She just got a little Tom Ford deal. So for
she's Gucci. And her album rose back up.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, she's good. I think about another song's about to go number one. So she's.
Sean, can you chime in at all, or do you want to chime in at all?
I mean, I'll chime in on the fact that I just think the rules of engagement are very, very different for different people. And it's like fascinating to me. You know, look, man, you don't get to make the fucking rules to the fight. Your opponents do. Yep. However far he willing to go is how far the fight is going to have to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this, and let me tell you something else. A lot of niggas, you're right about the keyboard thugging, because people do shit and say shit because one, they know they're never going to see that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But two, people also do shit and say shit because they know that the places that they will see them are places that respectability will take over, and they're not gonna act out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I'm the reason they made the dress code. They figure out what wild woman
when I'm in my dress code. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, like, when I see you, I'ma see you.
Right.
and that's what it's gonna have to be. Yeah. Now, I ain't got no somebody I see is on site. I ain't got none of that. Right. I'm an old nigga. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got none of that. But now there's definitely, I don't know that I don't have one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nigga might see me. I might be a nigga on site.
Yeah, exactly. You might, nigga might be looking for you.
So you know, that's why you got to stay ready. So you ain't got to get ready.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have had people where when I saw them, I had to go up on them and say, now what's that you said about blah, blah, blah.
And definitely
want to address shit. You don't want shit lingering
around. Hanging around.
Yeah. Shit lingering around. You see some dude that it could possibly be some. Where I'm from, nigga, close your accounts.
Yeah.
Address that shit, nigga. Because next thing you know, somebody going to be trying to take your head off while you with your old lady.
Yeah. Or your mom at the store. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because again, on site
means on site.
Every movie we seen, then Craig tells motherfucker smoking, you think he playing with you?
I'm saying,
oh, my mama stay, know where your mama stay.
Ricky and them was coming from the goddamn corner store. Come on, man.
Or like remember, God bless him, but remember the video came out of Hell Rail when he got his ass whipped in some IHOP uptown with his whole family there. I don't know what that cause of that was, but obviously it was an on-site situation.
Like,
and they caught him with his family, and it's like, yo, well, sorry, bro.
Sorry you with your family, but yo, Puffy had a dude stomped out in fucking Portofino during L.A. Reid's wedding weekend because dude was fucking with Kim Porter.
Because it was on-site.
Like, now you got to be in Italy for the rest of the weekend with a jammy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, more than anything, what I recognize is that a lot of niggas just be selling wolf tickets.
Yep.
This ain't getting, and what I'm talking about ain't got nothing to
do
with.
And they think everybody else is too.
Yes, what I'm saying ain't got nothing to do with this fight. My issues was the reaction.
Right.
Okay. A lot of you niggas is selling wolf tickets. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of y'all talking crazy to niggas that will have you hog tied and naked.
Yep.
Bought him tied up in a Brooklyn basement.
For real.
Yeah. For real life. Real.
Yeah.
Okay. And you keep on talking to these 42 and 45 year old niggas. Like, keep on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let me know how that worked out for you.
Well, somebody problem. Said the best thing. They said that their grandma used to tell them, don't play with niggas because you don't know who else is playing.
Yeah.
And everybody's playing the same game.
Niggas it's not no game out here.
Yeah.
It's real. It's real. So I wanted to address that. The last thing I want to address is this horrific shooting in Dallas. So there's a man named, I think is it Botham? Is how you say it? Yeah, Botham Jean. St. Lucia native, who was living in Dallas, and he was home in his apartment. Apparently a great guy, 26 years old, very involved in the church. Everybody at the job loved him. Just apparently a great guy, like just an all around great guy. And he's at home, and his door. Somebody's trying to enter his door, beating on the door. This is female cop from Dallas who lived in the same apartment building and went to the wrong floor. Went to the wrong floor and was trying to put her key in the lock. It didn't work. And so he heard somebody messing with the door. He opens the door. She pulls a gun out and shoots him dead. We could probably spend 3 hours on the discrepancies.
Five versions of the story already.
Yeah, this story has changed every three hours.
Yeah, first of all, they show pictures of the door. She had
We don't know if that's true. That source hasn't.
She had a push button thing on her door, and he didn't.
Saw those pictures, but that I can't find an appropriate source from those pictures. Like, it didn't come from the police or from somebody who lived there. I haven't seen any confirmation that her door had a push button instead of a
fob. That was even the same building, because a lot of these developers pretty much make the same outside shell. So it's like a hotel. You know what I'm saying? It could look the same, but have different fixtures.
Right.
So there's we don't even know that was from the same place.
Of stories that haven't been verified. One of the stories that hasn't been verified is that her door was different because she was a cop. I personally have never heard of that happening anywhere, but that was why people were saying she had a push button. So that hasn't been verified. But what is clear is that he had a red doormat outside his door.
Yeah,
I doubt she had that shit.
Usually in buildings like that, you are not allowed to change the uniformity of the doors.
And Cheyenne lives in a building like that, and I'd be confused as fuck until I see her doormat. Because it's the little things that you look like. I actually had an instance at her house. She has a fob, and the fob wasn't working. And I kept having to look at the door to make sure I was at the right door. That was the first thing I did when the fob didn't work, was step back and make sure I was at the right door. Because again, they all look the same. So the cop's first story, and I ended up having to go to the front desk, but the cop's first story was that she had her hands full. She was trying to fob, the fob wasn't working, and he opened the door. And she shot him, which even that surprises me, because you put your bags down, you drew your gun and shot him that quickly.
Exactly.
Then it became the door was unlocked and she just opened the house, which also as a cop, you're going to go into your house with your door. I don't know. I just feel like she says the door was wide open, which is impossible with those doors.
Exactly. And then she says that she walks in. Now the story is that she walks in. Obviously, it's dark in the crib. She sees a shadowy figure. She thinks that she was being burglarized. She yells out some commands for him to, like, get on the ground or whatever. And then he doesn't comply. And so then she opens up on
Which, of course, he doesn't, because he's in his fucking
house. He's home. Exactly. So there's other things are starting to leak out, that there's pictures that came out today of her brother-in-law throwing up the white power sign.
Her mother had on an All Lives Matter t-shirt.
Exactly. So
that's been out since last week.
Yes, yeah. They're saying she's a white supremacist, friends of white supremacists.
Her apartment is directly below his, and apparently they've called noise complaints on him before. So there has been some interaction of sorts. Between the two? Yeah.
Yeah. So then of course, the unions, they're coming out, the police union comes out and says, well, she had worked a 15-hour shift. She was too tired. I've worked and done all kind of wild shit. I ain't never been too tired to forget where I live. Like, and right. to go to a whole nother door in a whole nother apartment on a whole nother floor and then, you know, be sticking my
and
key in a lock.
My biggest issue, with how this is being handled is that one, she was off duty. She was coming home. And they basically gave her the 48-hour window.
As though she had been on duty.
As though she, and so.
As though it was an on-duty shooting.
Basically. Yes. And so basically, she gets 2 full days to meet with her union reps and her attorneys, right? Mm-hmm. They get to concoct this story, a story in which the only other person who could, dispute what she's saying is dead.
Is dead. Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're using things that are very, very difficult to prove, right? Like saying it was dark. And saying it was like his door was open, right? Was sort of, tends to lean towards someone who's careless. Mm-hmm. He didn't obey the commands, which means somebody who's sort of uncontrollable or in a rage, right? Like these are all of the little things that they put in increments and in bits and pieces.
Right.
The other thing they didn't do is, I'm almost positive they didn't do, nobody took hair, nobody made her blow. And nobody took blood.
Or if they made her blow, it wasn't immediately.
It wasn't immediately is my point, right? Now, listen, man, if you work for like the motherfucking city, if you work for FedEx, you work for UPS, and you get into an accident where like the cops gotta come,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you blowing.
Dead out.
Yeah.
You blowing, and they taking your ass to the near bathroom, pissing this cup right now.
Right.
And so the fact that she didn't have to do any of that was just sort of wild to me. And I just, like, this is when things get a little confused, right? Because what you're having is, The stories are changing like every 3 to 4 hours. There's new things. There's drips coming out. Mm. Now, apparently, they're looking for, they tried to get an affidavit or whatever the paperwork is, a warrant, I guess, to search the man's apartment.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Which is like, well, it's not crazy, right? Because the goal now is to find some shit, right?
Yeah.
The goal is to go in there, sprinkle some crack on the bed, okay, and tell us, like, and Na alluded to this earlier, like, they hate the fact that there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing for them to pull. There hasn't been a social media page. Like, dude, even with this girl, with this lady, giving her the 48 hours, she was able to scrub her shit clean.
Yep.
She was able to delete shit.
Right.
She was able to do a whole bunch of shit, man. And it's just like, and I've said this before, you know, police officers since 9/11 have basically been, you know, like they turn into superheroes. They're beyond reproach. Like you can't question anything about them. And they have basically held municipalities and held cities hostage.
Yep.
And they've all but had their unions negotiate the ability for them to never be. Dude, a big part of the reason why they're not convicted is because of the loopholes that the unions have. Mm-hmm. There is no job with this importance. There is not a doctor. If you have a doctor and he fucking cuts somebody open and he's high or something happens in that surgery, he's going to fucking draw blood.
Yep.
They're not giving him 48 hours.
But you know why? Because in any other case, the company that employs that person is culpable. And in this case, like, it doesn't, I mean, granted, yes, police departments have to pay out stuff, but it's basically the city.
No,
right?
And here's the dirty little secret. Here's the dirty little secret. They have coffers for this.
Right.
There is a part of their budget that is designed specifically for their suit because they know suits are going to come.
Yeah.
And as long as they stay within that budget, as long as they don't go over that budget, then we'll figure it out and we'll make it work. Like, think it is phenomenal to me that they have been allowed to get that 48-hour rule. Mm-hmm. When at every point, even their own, even when you talk to cops, they're telling you, hey, man, the best time for you to come in and talk is as soon as it happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Also, but you're giving them 48 hours? Like, that's
to get the whole shit together. They're also saying that many neighbors heard her saying, let me in.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get clarity on that one because there's two neighbors who supposedly heard open the door, right? Open his door now. There's another neighbor that says she heard cops, plural, yelling. So I'm wondering if the open the door now came because homegirl did call her, I guess, for backup or whatever once she shot dude and realized he was dead. And apparently it wasn't until she called the cops that they were like, are you in your house? And then she was like, oh, she's not in my house. Allegedly, right? And so I'm wondering if it was like, because another neighbor said she came in and she didn't hear anything until she heard the shot. So I'm still trying to get clear on what the timelines were because, you know, first it came out that like there was a picture of him and people were saying that she was in the picture with him. And then they were like, oh, they were dating. So there are some details that have gotten really quickly like thrown in and you don't know. And it's confusing enough for her changing her story every fucking 5 minutes to know what's real and what's not. But there was a, and Sean, you're like the legal person and out of the three of us, but there was a, They made public a search warrant that came on behalf of the defense, actually, that really almost paints her as the victim.
Yes, of course it is.
But the way it's phrased was like an unknown person. He's not unknown. He's in his fucking house. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mention she's in his house. It's like she entered the apartment, not mentioning it wasn't her apartment, and an unknown person was in the house. It's not her apartment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the language is so crazy.
They pay large, enormous amounts of money for this shit. This shit right here. For lawyers and union reps. For all of the, like I said before, they have, you know, like, these unions, man, they're fucking terrible, man. They're fucking terrible.
Yeah, they hold no one
accountable.
Yep, and they hold the city hostage.
And because DPD knows they look bad in this and they're trying to kind of get around it. So one thing I do understand is that the warrant for her arrest was issued in a whole different county than where the shooting happened because the judge in the county where the shooting happened would only sign off on a warrant for murder. So they went to another county where they could get a warrant for manslaughter. And that judge decided to wait 24 hours because they said they were going to charge her like the same day the shooting happened or like the day after. They said very quickly they were going to seek those charges, but she didn't actually get arrested for 2 days because the judge that ended up signing the warrant opted to wait that amount of time to quote unquote gather more evidence.
Well, we'll see this develop.
There's gonna be a lot more to go.
If it was a white man, I would fully expect him to get off. And a couple of times we've seen a white woman, she tends to get arrested. But this is just stupid. Like, it's insulting to watch play out. Like, the whole he didn't comply. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
It's insulting.
Being in your own crib and somebody's trying to break
in. I'm in my own crib. I'm in the dark. Somebody's breaking into my house as far as I'm concerned.
I'm supposed to get on the ground and be like, yo.
Right. And also, technically, even though she was still in uniform, she's still off duty. So basically, she's just a person shouting words. You can't issue any kind of authority.
Exactly.
As an off-duty police officer.
Exactly. All right. So we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of corrupt police, I don't know if you got a chance to look at it. Jeff, but did you see that they
took
like the entire Brooklyn Narcotics Unit, Narcotics Unit for a prostitution ring?
And nobody's surprised about that. Oh, and by the way, there was another story that we never covered a couple weeks ago. They found out that the police up at the sanitation workers, somebody up at Throgs Neck, was having orgies up in the projects up in there.
The housing workers having orgies up in there.
So it's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, New York City, baby. Gotta love it.
Oh, now that it's back fall and everybody's kind of calming down and cuffing season has started, I want to remind you guys that if you have questions for us, advice for whatever reason that y'all would ever want to hear our opinion on anything in your lives,
please send it. We'll fix you up nice.
We'll holler at y'all.
Please direct your have and have not questions to just said only.
And all your married to the medicines questions.
Right.
Right. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Later. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.